Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Thank you for your encouragement and your support. But we first and foremost want to honor our King, who? Jesus. So with everything that is in us, to say thank you for the last 10 years and thank you for the next 10 years, let's give him the loudest shout of praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. A shout of praise, a prophetic shout to say, yes, God, what you've done, do it again and more in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. I'm going to call upon Ali to come up to the platform again and Jess. And I felt before I really get into the word tonight, this is important that we take a trip down memory lane just for a little bit, a few minutes, and then we're going to go back into the future, jump in the DeLorean, and see what God has in store for all you Back to the Future fans, if you know what I'm talking about, all you Gen Xs and your Gen Ys, millennials perhaps, you know what I'm talking about. Let's go to the screens, and thank you, worship team, for all that you've done this week. I know Lee's already touched on it, but I want to thank the volunteers as well. You know, in the book of Corinthians, it talks about the body of Christ, and the lesser parts that are unseen actually are deserving of honor. And because if you think about your kidney, if there's a kidney stone in there, you would feel it.
Yeah.
And so and it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We thank you, team, all that you've done these past 4 days. If you volunteered over the last couple of days, can you just stand up? If you volunteered today, can you just get you to stand up? We want to honor you and say thank you so much for all that you've done. We couldn't have done what we did without you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Speaking of, so it all really stems back from this heart of serving. And I think this church gets it. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so I'm going to actually pass the microphone. Can we get a second mic?
I got it.
You got it? Yeah, beautiful. Lee, Jess and I came into Fire Church officially in 2017, Labor Day weekend. For those who don't know, Pastor Daniel Hagen and Pastor Chelsea started Fire Church, Chelsea Hagen, and Pastor Daniel Hagen is Jess's oldest brother. And I've technically been here from the start, the very first meeting. But we were part of another church throughout those years. And in fact, that photo, the top left, the second one to the left, was that building. Is that right?
Where we had the first meeting.
That may even be the very first meeting, but I can't verify 100%.
Too many instruments there. I think the first one was just the guitar with Dan.
Just the guitar with Dan. Before we get into the pictures, who's heard Pastor Dan's story, how Fire Church started? Yeah, for those who haven't heard, to cut a very long story short, Pastor Dan, Pastor Chelsea moved back to Victoria from Sunshine Coast, Queensland, from church that they were a part of. And so they're back there because they felt there is unfinished business. But that was in 2012. And reunited with the family, they were staying with Mum and Dad's house, Jess's parents' house in Cranbourne. How many of them? With Tom, your younger brother, and the five of them, the eight of them in a four-bedroom house, like sardines. Pastor Dan had three consecutive dreams about starting Fire Church, and there would be fish of many kind that would be caught. And Pastor Dan, along Cannonook River, where the Frankston pier is and the bridge, as he looked into the water, as he saw in his dream, fish of many kind, and it was a prophetic confirmation. So church was birthed, church was started, and Lee, maybe talk to some of these photos that you see.
Can you guys see the top right picture there? Yeah. That's the car park. And I think George was there. Can you lift up your hand, George? Yes. You remember that? You were in those days. And what I remember about the meeting is Pastor Dan actually did have this anointing to break up in an area where the Holy Spirit just comes down. Like recently, in Sunshine Coast, they had the revival meeting where the Holy Spirit just really came down, like Acts chapter 2. Well, in those days, it was Acts chapter 2. People were going down, and George can verify this. You know how sometimes when people get slain in the spirit and then, you know, after, you know, you can ask them to kindly stand up and move on, they get up. But these in those days, people were unconscious. Like people were going down and you go, all right, it's time to go. They weren't waking up. They were just out and people were getting dragged to the car park.
Was it the concrete and the concussion or?
No, it's really wild. I remember I got asked to minister and we prayed for this gentleman. He was stuttering and then prayed for him. And then he could start speaking again. But then he went to the toilet and there was this hand mark, like a handprint red on his throat. I didn't touch him. He just went to the toilet and there was this red handprint there. It was like an angel touched him. It was crazy. And then George was there and then he went down in the spirit. And I was being funny because George was like, ugh! And so every time I walked past, I was going, fire! And then I would walk on, pray someone else, come back, fire! He ended up going to heaven. He got taken up to heaven and then he didn't come back again. And again, they had the place from 7 o'clock till 10. And by the time 10 o'clock comes around, they need to vacate the space. People were still drunk in the spirit. So in the first 3 years, there were lots of pictures of people on the floor.
We still have that. If you go from the last couple of days, our media up. Thank you, Rachel Poe, doing an amazing job with the social media. You'll see people here on the floor with modesty cloths. That's still happening. Let's go to 2014. Lee, talk to this.
So, yes, that's glorious. The second picture on the top there, that's Geelong. And then the top one there, that's Geelong as well. That's the top right is Ben Fitzgerald.
For those that don't know, Pastor Lee, Evangelist Lee Wong, technically now, was our Geelong campus pastor. What years was that, Lee?
2013 I joined. So started in May, I joined technically about November, officially launched in 2014.
Yep. Awesome.
But yeah.
For those who are wondering who is Pastor Dan, that's him with a guitar. We miss those days where he's actually led us in worship and he's got a great singing voice.
Yeah.
Lee, tell us what happened at the bottom right corner and where was that?
That's the beach with Dave Hockley and Pastor Johnny Boy.
Pastor Dave Hockley is our Sunshine Coast campus pastor there.
Yeah.
And Pastor John Boy is our Hawthorne campus pastor.
Yes.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
What happened for that lady?
I can't remember. I wasn't there for that one.
Pastor John Boy was here during the week, staff meeting, and this photo is outside.
Oh, she was deaf.
She was deaf. She got baptized, and as she came up out of the water, her hearing came back. Come on.
Yeah, oh man.
Let's go to 2015.
You want me to share a horror story? You asked for it.
Go on, Lee.
No, you asked for it, but I'll tell you one. Pastor Dan is really amazing in terms of just hosting the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to move. When I first took over Geelong, it was another church I took over. I used to do this thing called open mic. You know what open mic is? It's like, yeah, who can hear from the Holy Spirit? Okay, well, in the first few weeks, we had a small church. I said, hey, who's got a word from God? And this gentleman put his hand up at the back. And I said, oh, what did you see? I said, I saw Jesus. I'm like, hallelujah, God is moving. Why don't you come up, brother, and share what you saw? And then he got up and I said, what did you see? He goes, I saw Jesus. I said, where? Over there. I'm like, wow, what happened? He goes, well, Santa Claus walked in, swore at him, and then he walked out. And Jesus got offended and left. Right?
That's when Lee learned not to pass the microphone to someone we don't know.
Trauma. And I said, stay around, brother. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, it gets better.
Lee has clearly been traumatized from Geelong, so that's why he's here with us.
After the service, I'm like, I'm going to cast those demons out. So I cast the demons out. He was coughing. All right, now once you cast it out, you got to fill with the Holy Spirit. So I pray with, baptize him in the Holy Spirit. And then after a while, he started speaking in tongues. I'm like, yeah, great. Then he goes, ching, chong, chang, chong, pang, chang. I'm like, what? Then he goes, bada bing, bada boom, bada. And I'm like, this guy's nuts. Oh God, I ran out of tricks. It was like, that was it. That was my whole repertoire. I just thought, oh man, we're in trouble now. I don't know what to do with this. This guy's insane. Anyway, a few more instances of that type of events, and I'm like, all right, no one else is going to touch the mic. Anyway.
Prayerfully, he's still traumatized. 2015, so we bounced around different venues between Ebdale, Community Hall, Frankston North, Community Centre, Mahogany Centre as well. And then we landed a lease in Seaford. Who's actually been here from the very start? Can I get you to just wave your hand with us? Or at least the very first year. Yeah, Faith, Andrew, George, Xavier years. Who's here during this time, or 2014, 2015? Give us a quick wave. Yeah, I don't have my glasses on. Someone's waving. Justina. Yes, Justina. Yep. And so we signed a lease for 5 years at Seaford High Tech Place, and that building there, and had glorious, powerful meetings with David Hogan, with all these people that we've had. They've come back as friends as well, which is amazing. And that's our Hawthorne campus there with the Afghan carpet. Our Macca's Outreach. Is it Macca's?
No, that was Outreach in Geelong. There came Outreach a whole bunch of people from here came down to help me evangelize in Geelong.
Very good.
That was cool.
A lot of hard work went into fitting in the factory, as we can see.
They had a whole bunch of Shep pellet that they turned into tables and became cool.
Very good.
It was. We were cheap, though. That's what it was.
I got you. The pellets.
A whole bunch of Shep pellets. Got no money for tables. Furniture, so people turned into furniture.
They were good. They served us well for a couple of years.
They were good. Yes.
The next year, 2016, we can see here, there's Mum. There's Pastor Daniel, Pastor Jess's mum, Irene. Hi, Mama. And that was the first album released for Fire Church, for some of Pastor Dan's songs. In fact, one of those songs was Mama Irene's song from the 80s, which he remastered to be a bit more modern. We see some outreach pictures here. We have our Empowered conferences. And Jess, you want to talk to any of this as well? Feel free to do so.
Yeah, well, I'm looking straight up at that top picture on the left, and it's Dave Hogan preaching. I'm not sure what the venue was, I know, because... Berwick Church of Christ, which we've got many friends there, Friends of Fire. And I believe at that time, Alex, while we hadn't yet moved to Fire Church, you and I and the kids, we were attending some of the special events. And you know what's funny? He was wearing that actual outfit year, a couple of nights ago. No judgment. I just think that's so cool. And then we had this he's getting younger. It's so weird. He looks younger in the face 7 years on. But, yeah, it's incredible. And also I just want to speak into you, because I know that the thing is about, we're 10 years old as a church and we're looking through the timeline, and 10 years is like an amazing milestone, but also like not that long either in this grand scheme of things. And then, you know, we might ask the question, and I know we asked over the last few services, who's here from the very beginning? I want to speak into that, because you might go, oh, not many people are here from the beginning. But, you know, this church has a legacy of sending people out and commissioning people out, and people, and it might not be us going, hey, you're going to go start a new fire church, but it's sometimes people prompting and going, you know, sitting down with a pastor and going, I feel God actually calling me to go to this place. I don't know why yet. Or I feel God calling me to go into the mission field. Or I feel like God's starting to stir my heart to plant my own church and you know, not a campus of fire. And we're sending people out. So I just felt to speak into that, because, it's not a bad thing that there's not the same 100 people.
There are actually still a lot of us from the beginning here. They're just in the morning service, or they've gone away on holiday.
Morning service, and obviously as we start to tick into these years, more of you will be going, oh, I was in there that year.
So we have, I want to acknowledge Frank Pop Clancy, who's been an elder, and also he's an elder, was a board member too. Rescue Australia came to the picture, and with Rescue Australia team was Pastor John Boyd. Mick Plyte used to be a board member as well. But Pop is still around. He's just up and down a little bit with his health, and led our missions team for a very long time. Did go with Richelli and crew to Darwin recently too. 2016, that was a moment for us. God started to show us that we need to come to Fire Church. Jess had an open vision, like you see the screen now, that we would be at Fire Church. But she laughed because why ruin a family unit with ministry? Yeah. And then 2 months after, received prayer from David Hogan, because I saw him throughout that whole conference. He was crying in every worship song, in every announcement, in every tithe and offering message. And I said, God, I want a heart like his. And for 2 months straight in my prayer closet, I was weeping. And then the one night in December, God took me out of a body experience. And I thought I was going to go to heaven, but he placed me in Fire Church. And I woke up, Jess, and said, I think we need to come to Fire Church.
Yeah, and it was in this year, so it was around September of 2016 that God started speaking to each of us and both of us together. And essentially by the end of 2016, by the end of that calendar year, we knew without a doubt that we would begin the transition to Fire Church, not to a position, not to an appointment, not to a job position, but just moving us and our two kids at that time and one in utero at the end of that year to Fire Church. And then it was in the early of 2017 we started to begin that transition with our
So let's go to 2017. And you see here in the top right corner, that was Margaret Court Arena with Heidi Baker, a missionary in Africa, American lady doing amazing things around the world, in particular around Africa. And that was the prelude to Awakening Australia. Who was that at Awakening Australia 2018? So Margaret Court event. And, you know, we had our first Empower conference at the Frankston Arts Centre where it rained a physical manifestation of God's presence in the room. There was no roof leaks and stuff, so it was kind of falling mid-air. And it rained as we worshipped to Let It Rain. The following year, 2015, Betty Fitzgerald, who's been in these pictures, kicked off Awakening Europe and packed out a stadium in Nuremberg. And now we had this vision for Awakening Australia 2018. So this is the year prior. And to help release Pastor Daniel Hagen, I'm going a little bit ahead here. But here's some pictures of the Empower conferences just building up towards Awakening Australia.
And there's a pretty special photo in the middle there, dear to my heart, our five, almost six-year-old who's just laying in the front here on a pillow. He's getting dedicated. I don't know if you can see, but there's a bunch of families up there and we're in the middle. Right up there. So I gave birth to Declan, our youngest, not in Fire Church, but we were part of the church. And that was a really special year. And you can see, some of those families actually are still here and some have moved on interstate and overseas. And, God was doing like what we might say the small things in that year in-house and then the big things out of the house as well. And it was a really, really special year for us as we started to plant our feet and our family in Fire Church as well.
Awesome. That's, I think, the second awakening or the third one on the bottom right. Let's now go to 2018. And then we see here in the middle, just where the 2018 year is, that's Awakening Australia. An impossible feat in the natural was accomplished thanks to the power of God. Marvel Stadium. We're at church at that point about 300. And I'm going to talk soon from Scripture about Gideon's 300. And what God can do with a small, hungry bunch of laid-down lovers of God. And that was an incredible year. There was two awakenings, one in Europe, one in here in Melbourne, Australia. And so you can see the amazing things that we got up to. We had Todd White, Jonathan David Hessler, Bill Johnson, Pastor Bill Johnson. And that was just a big and incredible year for Pastor Daniel too. And they realized at the end of that year, we'd already been there. And effectively, we came in and said, we're here to just serve. And we just did the jobs that no one wanted, effectively. I'll do whatever. And I prayed about it, of course. But we're just doing all these random jobs and leading many different teams. But at the end of 2018, Pastor Daniel and Ben Fitzgerald asked if we can come on as executive pastors. Let's fly through now to 2019. Thank you so much. We were commissioned as executive pastors there. 2019, and that's when we stepped into the role as pastors, and it's been a huge honor ever since. And that was our first year, January 2019, of full-time ministry, been volunteering for 15 plus years. And then, so we had 1 year of normalcy, Who remembers what happened in 2020?
Can we pause a little on this before I don't want to tick into 2020 just yet? Just everyone pause. We had that year, that one year as pastors of trying to learn the ropes and work out what on earth we were doing. And then 2020. All right, we're ready to tick into 2020.
2020. Who misses 2020? Not one hand. Oh, Mike does. Okay. We'll lock you down. No, we'll love you, Mike. 2020 hits, COVID pandemic. Our five-year lease finishes and this building becomes available. The previous church opened it up to the Franks and Ministers Network and we said, yes, we'll take it. And so we transitioned, we cleaned up the old building, we moved into here.
That was actually our outing. I remember that day we were allowed to come and inspect this empty building. Yeah. That was our, you know, you're allowed out of your house once. We got to come and look at this empty building.
And so our first meeting here was outside in this car park when Skate World was still closed. We had a church marathon of five services where you can only gather 50 at a time. And there was many salvations that day. It was forecasted for thunderstorm and rain. And the night before, I picked up the phone and said, Pastor Dan, what do you want to do? And he goes, it's up to you. Oh, thanks. I was hoping that you would make the call and cancel it so I don't get the blame. But I prayed and God said, go ahead. And we had sunshine. There was no thunderstorm, no rain up until the very last worship song we finished. And then and rain poured down. But we saw people getting saved.
Anyone here attend one of those car park services? Yeah, here they come. Lots of you were here in these years and you've stayed on, which is awesome.
And that year we launched our online stream. We've always talked about it, but now we're forced to do it. And so our Easter service at a studio. And then we also did beach worship and baptisms there. And let's go to 2021. At this point, the year before, we actually felt and heard from Pastor Dan and Chelsea. They feel the call of God to go back and finish some business in Queensland, this time under Fire Church Ministries. And we released them at the start of 2021. Very emotional for the cousins. It was a very teary day. But we really didn't know what was going to happen and unfold that year. It just exploded. And there was prophetic words as we released the family, and along with some other leaders as well, what would normally take 10 years in Queensland will be accomplished in two. And so February 12, 2021 was their first pre-gathering to just gather the interests of who wants to be part of Fire Church up there. 2 years later, we don't need to go there yet, but 2 years later, February 12, and we forgot about this. It was Facebook that reminded us. February 12 came up as a memory. 2021, it's now February 12, 2023, we're launching our first service on a Sunday morning in our permanent new location. And within 2 years, there's four campuses there, there's four campuses here in Victoria. We're on a main road location, they're on a main road location, and God was faithful to his word. What would normally take 10 years for us only took two. So we give God all the glory. Joshua Hagen, Jess's cousin and Pastor Dan's cousin, public testimony, in and out of prison, dealing with drugs, crime. He's known as, if you look up his name, the Cranbourne shotgun. I can't remember, but we shared his testimony. He shared it at Ignite Gippsland. But he was baptized in this pool, and his long-term girlfriend was sitting around here where Troy is sitting, and she witnessed this man's transformation. She gives her heart to Jesus during that time, and a year later they got married.
And actually, what was so cool is maybe like months after that, after they both really had these very quick radical transformations, and then they got married in this venue as well. So like maybe like 6 or 8 months after that.
And now Josh is an intern.
And he's an intern. But as awesome as that is, can we just pause?
No,
if you look carefully
slide,
in that
slide.
Photo...
I was Bart Simpson for a few weeks.
So just you might have to squint, but you see my husband's a Filipino and his natural hair colour is jet black. He's got a few silvers in there now, but he's jet black. And if you see, he's baptising Joshua there and he has peroxide blonde hair. And I can tell you, he went, it was like, you know, I feel like it was maybe, have you done, you prematurely did your midlife crisis with that hair. But he went out he went out like the day before that day on a Saturday, goes, I'm just going to go get a haircut. I know this has got nothing to do with Fire Church celebration, but I'm going to get a haircut. I was like, oh yeah, cool. 3 hours later, he comes home with peroxide blonde hair.
That was the highlight for the year.
And a bottle of purple shampoo. And then a couple of months later, he was back to the natural black.
All right, next slide. 2022. It was a big year, 2022. It was a massive year. You know, we had a first and only proposal so far, Josiah, Natalie. He wanted to propose, he told me, he asked for permission, where they felt life had really changed for them. He'd only been saved, they both have only been saved, I think, about 5 weeks at that point. They've got two kids living together for years. But you got to understand, Natalie was suffering with PTSD from a car accident. There's a 5 kilometer radius law that we have, couldn't breach that. In her own mind, before any of that, she couldn't drive more than 3 kilometers outside of her house because of that car accident, which traumatized them. They realized when they gave their hearts to Jesus, things started to change, and they no longer had that PTSD, and they were free from that trauma, can drive everywhere. And they just felt, that's Karen. You guys hear Karen? Terrence is her partner's kids. And so, Josiah. And yeah, it was beautiful to see. And Queensland is flourishing. You can see the different meetings there. And we launched, Queensland, we launched here. It was the year that many of you joined us as well. Not to dwell on it for too long, but we felt strongly from God. At the end of 2021, start 2022, we will never shut our doors to anyone because they don't have the silly green tick. So we say welcome to all, and we love you all, and thank you for hanging on for the ride, and we know God's got plenty in store. Yep.
Yeah, and on that, and as you say, I agree, we don't feel to dwell on that. We certainly don't feel that we did anything particularly special or heroic, but what we didn't anticipate is this container that we're in right now actually very quickly, you know, in 2020 we look through it, it's empty, we start running online services in here and didn't really think about the space of the auditorium, and yet we found ourselves very quickly and not anticipating that this container would, you know, once we could open and have services and let whoever wanted to come to church basically, that we would then not have enough room. So it's been an interesting journey. And we want to thank you all. If you were here for this and you've gone through, you've got your story. If we were a place that, you know, maybe you found yourself not being able to go to a different church and found yourself stumbling into Fire Church, we want to honour you, but also honour our congregation for understanding that everybody had their own take on what was going on. Yep. So all we say is, well, God's asked us to open his house. We didn't feel great about closing it, but he's asked us to open his house. We don't want to ask people questions at the door, so come back in. And that's not heroic. That was just something that we felt was for us to do. And I know many of you here are here from finding yourself in Fire Church during these kind of bizarre, awful years that we didn't know what we were doing half the time. And you were very patient with us too. We've had church family that have been so incredibly patient with us navigating how to do all of that. And not everyone saw eye to eye. So it was a really great year to celebrate being able to come back together in an extremely difficult year, the first few months of 2022. We were coming to church. It feels like it was more than 12 months ago. I'm not going to sit too much longer on this, but we were coming to church and yet not being able to go to the cinemas, not sure which restaurant you can go to, like some of us, you know. Very bizarre, not that long ago either. That's only last year. Yep. So we thank God that there was no consequences for what we did. We're probably not big enough. for anyone really of authority to care that much for the stand that we took. But I thank God for his protection. I thank God for his direction for us.
That church exploded.
And here we are.
And I just want to highlight our Gold Coast campus launched. The girl with the pink hair, Pastor Bianca, the peachy preacher on Instagram. Follow her, baptizing people in Gold Coast campus. This man on a slip and slide, Pastor Bryden, and baptizing someone there. They launched, after graduating from Bible Revival, a man who's never laid hand on the sick through Bible Revival is daily witnessing to someone, praying for the sick. His house church grew from 10 to 20, 30, knocked down a wall to fit in 60 people. They're now a fully-fledged campus and doing amazing. He now also lectures in Bible. He's the main lecturer of Bible Revival, our poster boy for Bible Revival. Let's go 2023 and where we are now and all that God has done with the Ignite Conference last year, Ignite Gippsland this year, the many meetings that we've had. There's Gippsland there. Jesus Revival, this is our new Sunny Coast campus, and they have taken over an old Seventh-day Adventist church and taken over the billboard. And you see in the Bruce Highway, 70,000 cars a day sees that sign, Jesus Revival. Yeah. Come on, God is good. And our many other meetings and events that's taken place. Yeah. Our Sunny Coast campus there. Frankston, Good Friday baptisms just a few weeks ago, 70 people getting baptized. To God be the glory. Thank you, my beautiful wife. I'm not going to preach for too long. I felt to take a trip down memory lane to say that all of this was accomplished because of the Spirit of God. I remember as a baby Christian, I got saved 2003. I was part of a large mega church. 2006, had a great pastor. He wasn't the main pastor, but part of the pastoral team. And he asked a group of us guys as we went out to the cinemas and had dinner at TGI Fridays, Chapel Street, as you do your chapel apps afterwards as well, that he asked us this question: where do you see yourself in 5 years? And that took me by surprise. I never thought about the future. And I can't even remember what I said. But I know what I did say. I definitely didn't have, I remember saying something generic actually, like, oh, I just hope I'll be serving God, blah, 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 blah. Within that 5 years, I'd met Jess at 2019, graduated 2009, graduated from Bible College, and we were just loving life, and God had exceeded our expectations. I say this because the last 10 years, we did not predict or see that a small church would have such an impact. And I say this humbly because I come from the outside, like a lot of you, and I admired Fire Church from afar, and I saw the sweet and felt the sweet presence of God in worship. And I thought, one day maybe I can be part of this. And this small church taking on stadiums in Europe, taking on stadiums here in Australia, Melbourne, and then next year, there will be another Awakening Australia. Pastor Ben will announce that soon. I won't say yet where. But a small group of hungry people can do so much. Never underestimate what a small group can do. Amen? So I'm going to take us quickly to, let's go to Judges chapter 6, the story of Gideon. And here we find the Lord convincing Gideon into his assignment. And we pick it up in verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Some translations say, go in the strength that you have, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is weak, is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you and defeat the Midianites as one man. God looks for the ones who perhaps you think, maybe I'm not the person, maybe I'm not cut out for it. Because he can work with someone that realizes that maybe nothing at all. I'm still surprised that God's used me. I'm still surprised that when I look back, I'm that guy that was super awkward, not confident in public speaking, not even in the Bible study group, and my voice would crack, and I think, oh, these lies have been spoken over me, that I will be a pastor, that I will do preaching, blah, blah, blah. For a season, I thought it was all lies. And I see the hand of God, and there's some things that we see in the life of Gideon, and that's things that we've seen over the last 10 years, that the promise of God and the call and the gifts of God are without repentance. Now, I've told you this the last couple of weeks. What does repentance mean in the Greek? It's a change of mind. The gifts and the call of God are there even if you try and change your mind. It's going to pursue you. And it's going to chase you down. And it's up to you what you want to do with it. Are you going to take on the call of God? And are you going to run with it? The gifts and the call of God are without repentance. It's irrevocable, the Bible says. And so God works on Gideon's heart to convince him to say yes to the assignment. And then we pick it up in Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "These people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself and say, 'My own hand had saved them.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And the 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." You have this army of the Midianites that scholars believe is about 132,000. But in fact, they were that big. In verse 12 of chapter 7, it says, "The Midianites were like as numerous as locusts. Their camels were without number, and the sand by the seashore in multitude." It was just hard to count. But you have a problem now. A small army of 32,000 is now cut down to 10,000 because God gave permission to say, if anyone is fearful, here's your ticket out right now. And I think that's important because fear is contagious. And if you're in battle and you're in the middle of trying to take down the enemy, but there is fear in the camp, fear is actually contagious. But guess what else is also contagious? Faith, courage, bravery is also contagious. But God is also in the business of doing things His way. And the Lord says to him, "This is still too many people. This multitude of the armies of the enemy is you can't even count it, but 10,000 people is still too much for my liking. There's a city that is going to hell in a handbasket that is going woke and going crazy and is hating on Jesus. Jesus said, they don't hate you, but they hate you because of my words, and I speak of the evil they do. Don't take it personally. It's just the Spirit of God in you. The spirit of darkness in the world rages against you. But thank God, just like Job, there is a hedge of protection around you and the enemy can't touch you. For no weapon formed against you shall prosper." And so the Lord says, there's still too many people. Can I get the water? Sometimes I like to play with props so the message goes down well and you all remember. And then you do. Yep, and then you take photos and you turn me into a meme. Bear with me. I want to shout out to Douglas. Where are you, Douglas? Give us a wave. Douglas, thank you for your belt. I'm not packing a belt tonight, and I needed a belt and saw Douglas. So I thought, oh, Douglas, thank you. So the Lord says, I need to cut this army down from 10,000 to 300. And he says, go to the water and tell your men, your soldiers, to have a drink. And those that lap down to drink, they are not to go with you. But those who cup the water in their hand and drink, they're to go with you. Those who go down to water, they're not to go with you. But those who lap it up, what's the difference here? Apart from my hand, being alert. The Bible says, be watchful and in prayer so you don't fall into temptation. Be watchful and in prayer so you don't fall into temptation. Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding the wall, the enemy of that time, the Sanballat, mocked Nehemiah and the project to rebuild Israel's wall, because you got to understand, when you rebuild the wall, you have a place of worship, you have a place where the presence of God dwells. And he even said, will you even revive these stones that have been broken down and burned? The enemy is mocking what the church does through the media, through opinions of the world, because he knows the power that the church carries when we're together in unity and we're building something for God. That the presence of God shall dwell as we gather, that lost people shall be saved, that the sick shall be healed. And so he mocks us, and especially the churches that go for revival. Will you even revive these stones that have been burnt? And so what does Nehemiah do? Because the enemy sends an attack as they try to build. Nehemiah pairs up the builders, so they take turns in building, and one being watchful. He assigned them, the Bible says, to be on watch day and night. God is looking for people who are on watch day and night, who haven't fallen asleep to the issues of the world, who haven't fallen asleep because of their sin. Jesus said, remain prayerful and watchful, lest you fall into temptation. Remain watchful. Be ready on guard. What does it say about the armor of God? Be strong in the Lord and put on the full armor of God so that you can withstand the schemes of the devil. Sometimes, I think it was David Hogan that said this, we put on our helmet of salvation and then we step into the rest of that day without anything else and we're going out nude. We have no sword of the Spirit, no belt of truth, no shield of faith, no breastplate of righteousness or defeat. Ready to spread the good news. And God is looking for those who remain faithful, watchful. I think about the 10 virgins, talking about 10 years, the 10 virgins. It says, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. The wise ones carried oil in their lamps, and the foolish ones just had the oil on the wick. And so you can see what happens here. As they fell into a slumber, even though they had fallen asleep, they weren't awake. When the time came, these wise virgins who had these oil reserves was able to light the wick and carry on and go to the wedding. But the foolish ones, that wick was dry. Are we living a lifestyle, a Christianity that is dry, or are we living one that is soaked and bathed in the oil of God? Do we have a heart that is flammable for the Holy Spirit? Is it dipped in oil? Is it dipped in oil? So we see God then, he says, I want to work with the ones that are watchful. 300, the mighty 300. Forget Gerard Butler and 300. We got Gideon and his 300. Although I enjoyed that movie. You see some heads roll. You see the enemy defeated. Thank you, Douglas. You can get this later. And then we pick it up. Chapter 7, verse 13. I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley. This is now Gideon, because he was still doubting the call of God in his life, the assignment of God, The multitudes are just too numerous. It is impossible, perhaps, in his thinking. So the Lord sends him on a spy mission to hear the enemy's camp, to hear what is the enemy actually saying. And he overhears this conversation that a man telling another companion, "I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of the Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, on the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.' And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Arise, for God has delivered Frankston into your hand. Arise, for God has delivered Victoria, Australia, and the nations of the world into your hand, if you believe.'" Because if you put your ear into the enemy's camp, and if you are truly living for God, on fire for Him, you are actually the enemy's worst nightmare. You are actually a bad dream for the enemy. If you were to wake up to the call of God in your life and step out for Him, they're actually really worried. So what they do is, the enemy, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God to withstand the schemes of the devil. Don't fall for the traps. Don't fall for the tricks. They're just schemes. They have no power over you. They're just tricks of the enemy. So you put on the full armor of God and you withstand the fiery darts, because He can only target you and attack you from afar and not really close. He's got nothing on you. Amen? And so we see that Gideon divided the 300 into three companies to surround the camp with empty pitchers, torches, and a trumpet. These are unconventional weapons of warfare to defeat this numerous, vast array of enemies. 100 there, 100 there, 100 there. And God, you want us to hold a trumpet? Boop, boop. An empty pot and a fiery torch? What is going on here? You see, the Bible says in Corinthians, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. For our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Your weapon in God is mighty. What is your weapon in God? Throw some out. Prayer. Word of God, your relationship with Jesus. What else? Worship, declaring, obedience, prioritizing time with God. Obedience, what else? Testimonies, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What else? Faith, what else? Revival, come on, what else? Intimacy with the Lord. Your weapons are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. See, Lee, that's how you do it. You don't pass it to a random, the microphone. I'm mucking around. Although, that could have gone sour real quick if there was some real nuts in here. And the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, they would shout. Your weapons of God aren't what you think. The trumpet represents the declaration of God's word. The empty picture. The Bible says we are earthen vessels with treasures in us. There is something that we can offer to the world. We may be this broken earthen vessel, but we carry a treasure that the world is looking for. Amen. And as we pour it out, the world receives the sweet fragrance and presence of Jesus, and the torch is the fire of God on our lives. Can someone take this? I'm just worried I'm going to step into it and have a big old mess here. Thank you so much, Lee. Our weapons are mighty in God. I had the honor of the last couple of days of driving General David Hogan around and getting to know him personally through a series of small things. The hotels around here was booked out. We had to get him to Chadston. And I looked on Google Maps, oh, it's 25 minutes away. But I realized why after the first night. It's 25 minutes with this general. It's 25 minutes of gleaning 47 years of ministry and hearing his heart. In fact, he's that much of a father in the faith. The first night back to his hotel from here, he asked me, so Alex, tell me, how's your spouse? How's your family? How's your children? How's the church? How's the ministry? How's the finances? What makes you happy? What makes you mad? I thought, wow, you want to know about me? But then I could see what he was doing. So I was telling him all these things. Then he's coming in with fatherly advice. And, you know, he's intense. Like, you've seen him here. He's intense. Tom Crandall last night, he said, you thought he was intense last two nights? He met him for the very first time 20 years ago at the Pensacola Revival School. 20 years ago, he was way more intense back then. In fact, we were having dinner last night with Tom, and he said, David Hogan asked a student to pray. And everyone closed their eyes, and this young man started to pray for the food, and then he started to pray for revival, and he went on and on. And as he opened his eyes, everyone's eating, and David Hogan's looking at him, and he said, I only asked you to pray for the food. He's a father. He's a great father. There's things that he told me, he said, it's just probably not appropriate for him to share, which I think I chatted with Jess and shared some of these stories. I actually wish he shared some of these stories. They live in a war zone. He told me yesterday that I heard a conversation. He said, oh, Corbin, the government's putting in a 7:30 p.m. curfew. I thought, it's COVID back. What's happening? Remember, the curfew is 9 p.m. here? And I go, what's that? Is it COVID? What is it? He goes, no. He goes, son, we live in a war. There's six major drug cartels in where they are. And three of them are in war. And the government has said, if anyone is found outside after 7:30 p.m., if the cartel doesn't shoot you, we will. It's that bad. The 9-hour trip from the nearest international airport to where they live has six checkpoints, three military and three cartel. I go, how do you deal with that? He goes, well, you have your Jesus is Lord hat on your dashboard and your Bible, and you remain calm and collected. When they approach your window, you don't react that the way they want you to react, because it will trigger an emotion in them. And you just remain calm and collected, and you preach the gospel. I go, Corbin, you've grown up in this. How do you find it? Well, it's just something that I grew up with. I go, you must be so useful. He goes, you never get used to it, but you just know what to do. And then Brother Hogan, he just can't help himself. He says, son, it's not just about the checkpoints. It's how you react to everything. Don't let the enemy get the best of you. He preached a word, a great word first night, and he talked about with composure. What was it? To respond with composure and patience. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, long-suffering. This intense man, I realized he's actually living out the word. He's bearing the fruits of the Spirit. He's living out he comes off as intense, but behind the scenes, he's actually very calm, patient. He goes, you got to teach yourself to respond the way God wants you to respond, not the way the enemy wants you to respond. You know, I love hearing his story where he said, he's the one that gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and opens up the prayer room with the key, the prayer building. I thought, oh, that's cool, because we still kind of do that. And I thought, you know, there's maybe a level where you kind of just pass on to someone else, but we find ourselves, God asking, will you do this? Will you do this? Cool, okay. You can never get too high where You're not doing that. In fact, it's important that we do that. You see, the word disciple, it's the root word for discipline. And we see, and I was talking with David in our multiple drives, and he said, discipline, son, discipline. These are your weapons of warfare. I saved the very last because I was let you all get prayer from him and things like that. And at the Virgin Lounge, I said, Pastor, Brother David, you're about to go. Can I now receive my prayer? And he prayed fire. And I said to him, this is advice for everyone. What would you say to a young pastor 4 years in? I said, don't burn out. Don't burn out. I've seen many rise up and fall down. Go with the pace of your family and your team. Don't burn out. Spend time with Jesus, loving Him. There's so much other things, but I won't share at this point. And I said, have you scheduled in time? You talk, you know, in terms of rest. He goes, yeah, I have. And I can't wait for it. Me and Mrs. Hogan, we're going to spend time together. I go, is that a holiday? He goes, oh, no. We're going to switch off our phones. We're going to spend 10 days fasting. I thought, wow. Because no one's got access to us except our family. Wow. Every great man and woman of God throughout history has a discipline in their relationship, in their walk with God, in the scriptures, in prayer and fasting. I do intermittent fasting every now and then, but I sense God is drawing us, friends, into another fast in seeking the Lord's face. This wasn't part of my notes. But how do we approach the next 10 years? I want to ask Jess to come up and pray and prophesy. You're going to hear some things from the Spirit of God as we prophesy. And prophetic words is an invitation. It doesn't guarantee it will happen, but it is an invitation. And there is an invitation that's going to be released tonight to say, will you take on the call of God? Will you take on what He has planned? For us as a church, there's 8 campuses in 2 states. But during the time of lockdown in 2020, we may or may not have escaped the Ring of Steel and gone to regional Victoria, called Phillip Island, to pray and have a bit of freedom. But during that time of freedom, that's where we sense Queensland was on the map, was on the heart of God. And we had this 3-year vision map from the Lord, and we're seeing these things unfold. That 2021 will be the year of stabilizing the changes with Pastor Dan Chelsea moving on to Queensland, Jess and I taking on Victoria. 2022, we're going to see new things. 2022, it's going to stabilize. In 2023, it's just going to explode. And that's what we saw. In fact, 2023 vision of explosive growth happened in 2022. And now we're just playing catch up. But I sense, and we saw in this time of prayer, extended time of prayer, that God wants to open up other cities. God wants to open up other cities in this nation to have churches like ours, to bring the fire of God into a city, to have a heart for the streets, for evangelism, for discipleship, for raising up the fivefold. I will be completely vulnerable and honest right now. I loved the last 4 days, and I love Empowered in Him School, and I loved Ignite Gippsland, 3 big conferences in 4 months. I'm just looking forward to being a pastor very soon and building into you and raising up more leaders and more pastors, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. We're in a season where we want to really pour it out and see who's going to be the next pastors, who's going to be the next church planters, who's going to be the next fivefold ministry. And not just in church ministry, but in the marketplace. A marketplace apostle, a marketplace prophet, a marketplace pastor. So Jess, if you can pray and prophesy.
Yeah, if we could just all close our eyes and just be fixed on the Lord right now and what He wants to say. There's nothing more I can say. There's nothing more that Jess or Alex can say tonight, but we do know that the Lord wants to speak, and particularly we wanted to use the opportunity of celebrating this decade that's gone in this ministry to now ask the Lord to speak vision into the next decade. And so while we see in part, while he reveals in part, and we certainly don't know the complete blueprint for the next 10 years, we do believe to prophesy and declare particular things that he has shown us and that he's stirring within us as pastors for our house and for you and your families as well. And so we just look toward his face right now, I just want you to focus on the Holy Spirit right now. Just focus on Jesus. Focus on him, and I'm just going to speak out what he has already spoken to me for this church, for Fire Church Ministries. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God says, you don't need bigger churches, you need more churches. I'm not going to make room for enlargement of the churches that exist now under Fire Church. What I will be doing is making a pathway and a road for more churches, for more communities, and for a bigger reach out. Not a reach up, not an enlargement, says the Lord, of big churches, but Fire Church has been birthed to reach more. Thank you, Lord. God said to me that what we're going to see in the next 10 years is a maturity. Just like you would when you see a young child go from a child needing much hands-on, survival needs. And then that young child steps into their next milestone, into that preteen, into that moving towards independence, that maturity and navigating that. Well, God says to us as a church, as a ministry now in our double digits, moving forward, you're going to step into a maturity. And what that's going to look like is a maturity in us as disciples. In fact, a hunger, says the Lord, I'm stirring within you and in your communities, a hunger for maturity. A hunger to start to be able to let go of those who are nurturing us day by day, and to start to go, I think I'm getting this now. And God's going to say, I'm going to show you a confidence and a boldness in who you are in me, so that you don't need to be drip fed anymore, but you're going to start to feed those coming up. And God says, I'm going to start to give a confidence in you as a church, in individuals and in couples and in people who haven't yet stepped out, in those who don't believe yet that they're really ministering as such, but just happy to be part of the church community. But God's going to start to birth a maturity into those to start doing the work of discipling others. And through that, we will see a really deep growth, where roots are going to go deep. I'm not talking about numbers of people coming to the church right now. I'm talking about deep growth in him. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it. And God has been speaking to us about venues. This is not Alex and Jess talking right now. We don't particularly know where we're going next or how that's going to work. But God's been speaking about the container. If you know, God knows better than we do that we're out of room here at Carrum Downs on Sunday mornings. And at the same time, Sunshine Coast already starting to run out of room in the container that they've been given. So God wants us to believe for greater. We have to believe that just like he is already resourced, like he's done phenomenal miracles over the last 10 years, things you wouldn't expect a small church down the road in Frankston to be able to do. No, because we didn't do it. God says, I did it. You need to believe me now for more. Don't look at the limits. Don't look at the cap. God is saying to us right now, yes, to us as leaders, but to all of us as a church family, you need to trust me that I know exactly where you're going next. Believe me for greater, and believe that I will work outside of the box, because that's what he's done in this church. He's worked with the unusual ones. He's worked through the unusual fish, the strange fish. God says, I'm going to do something outside of the box. Don't worry about the container anymore. Thank you, Lord. And now I want to speak into families. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit is going to be ministering deeply into marriages, into family relationships, into strengthening the discipleship within the home. And yes, we could say that absolutely this is a word for the global church. That's what God wants to do. And yes, it's what he wants to do in Fire Church as a ministry. In fact, God is so set on doing that, he couldn't care less if we run more events or not. Because what he is going to do is a strengthening and a deepening of the work he's already doing within the family unit. God needs you, families, right now. If you're leading a home, whether that's with young children or it's a spouse or whatever your home looks like, if you're the head of a house right now, and if you're a couple, God's speaking to you right now. I want you to listen. The Lord says to you tonight, at what cost will you lead your household to me? At what cost, says the Lord? Because the next 10 years are going to be strange in the world's eyes. They're going to be difficult. You're going to come up against ideologies that are going to directly contradict my word and my truth. You think it's bad now, says the Lord. Well, the next 10 years in the world's eyes are not going to look any better. Will you trust me? At what cost will you be the light in your home and speak the truth where darkness will try to come in, where a haze and a fogginess will try to come into the home and into your children? At what cost, says the Lord? This is to us as a church right now. This is to fathers and to mothers, to stepfathers, to stepmothers, to those who love the Lord, who get the opportunity to speak life and to speak light and to be that beacon. At what cost? You need to be so grounded in my word, says the Lord, to be able to run this next 10 years, particularly in the home. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for salvations, for miracles, God, for testimonies, Lord, of your goodness, of your mercy, of your power. And finally, because I really felt this in worship earlier tonight, so strongly, and a sense of responsibility. And I'm not going to ask you to respond necessarily. I just want everyone to have the opportunity to just let the Lord speak right now and for you to just sit and listen. But God has very, very strongly impressed on my heart that there will be more pastors, more teachers, more evangelists, more prophets, and more apostles trained and raised and released under this ministry in the next 10 years. So if that's speaking to you, I just want you to receive that. I don't need you to respond. I'm not going to be looking. I'm not going to be looking for right now for who we need to go and connect with. That will come in time. But right now, this is just the Lord wanting to speak. It's just an opportunity. God wants to highlight, to equip, train, and raise and release more pastors, more teachers, more evangelists, more prophets, and more apostles so that his work can continue in the next 10 years. This is not the work of Pastor Daniel or Chelsea or Alex or Jess or Lee or any of the other pastors or staff here. It's the work of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. It's the commissioning of the Lord. And also, God has said, and this we will celebrate this, there's going to be relationships, there's going to be God-appointed marriages in this house, there's going to be more children in Jesus' name, healthy, equally yoked relationships. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And businesses, just the last one thing, there's entrepreneurial ideas and businesses and a different kind of commissioning that's going to be released in this house. And I want you to know too, God said to me the word endorsement in that realm, that there will be, that it won't be, okay, I'm a Christian and I go to church, and but really my ministry is over there in the marketplace. There will be more opportunity of overlap, and there will be more of a sense of my church have endorsed me, have released me, and have my back in the work of what God has called me to do in the marketplace. That it won't feel separate anymore, that God wants you to know that you are so needed, and the next 10 years are going to be absolutely vital, that we have people in the marketplace, outside the four walls of the church, sharing his hope, sharing truth, being love where love is not there yet. So thank you, Lord. We hear your word tonight, God. We receive it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you would trust us as a church to continue to do your good work. We know, Father, you're not done yet. We know, Father, that 10 years is just a little blip. And we want to run the race well as a ministry, God. And we want to celebrate, Father, decade after decade of the good works you're doing through us and within us, Lord. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Just while we're in this atmosphere of faith, I'm going to give an opportunity for people to really respond for the next 10 years in whatever form or fashion that you sense Holy Spirit is drawing you. But beyond, you know, the actual task or the work is the Spirit behind the person. Numbers 14:24 was our word last year. It's actually prophetic that you're wearing this. Wholehearted was our word last year. Numbers 14:24. But because Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit and they followed the Lord wholeheartedly, God entrusted them to enter into the promised land. So behind any work, behind any calling is the person, you. How's your spirit? And we're going to give an opportunity soon to come to the front, and we're going to celebrate with a high praise song to say thank you, God, for everything you've done. I see Ethan ready. But before we do that, we never want to close a meeting and not give you an opportunity to get right with God. You might be sitting in this place and some things have made sense, some haven't. But effectively, you know deep down in your heart, you perhaps aren't right with God. And if you died and you see God, we're all going to die. We're all going to stand before God and give an account for our lives. He effectively, number one, just wants to know, what did you do with the free gift of salvation through his son, Jesus? You see, it's not your own good works that will enter, help you get into heaven, lest anyone should boast. For salvation doesn't come by good works, the Bible says. It is by grace. It is the unmerited favor of God to say you can't work yourself into heaven. In fact, the Bible says our works of righteousness are like filthy rags in his sight. We can't earn our salvation, but we can receive it through Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. So if you're not right with God, can I kindly ask you, don't walk out of this building tonight with that question mark, am I right, am I not right? Know 100% that you can get right with God. So when you die, it is heaven, but more than that, it is life and life more abundant with Jesus here on earth for the rest of your life. So with everyone standing up, is there anyone in this room that you know you need to get right with God? I want to ask you to do something boldly and come to the front. Many of us, if not all of us, will follow you behind you as we worship our King soon. But is there anyone? Jesus, he publicly called people to follow him. Will you follow him tonight? Will you say, sorry, God, for all my sins and all my mistakes? Will you forgive me? He says, yes, I will. Is there anyone in the room tonight? Or online, please let us know. Let's pray. Jess, can you just do a salvation prayer?
Let's all repeat these words together. I say, dear Jesus, I thank you for speaking to me tonight. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all of my wrongdoings. You see me, Lord, and you know my heart. And tonight, I ask you, Jesus, to come and fill this heart. Every empty space of me, fill it with your love. I need you, God. I don't want to do this life without you. Help me, Jesus, to follow you every day for the rest of my life. And Holy Spirit, come now. Fill me, Lord. I want to be yours and wholly yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Can I ask, did you pray that prayer either for the first time or it's a prayer of repentance and rededication back to God? And if you did, why don't you come to the front? And in fact, let's just turn to our neighbor now and ask, did you pray that prayer and would you like to come to the front? Because I'll go with you. Declan, did you pray that prayer? No, he has already. Very good. You may want to come up in response to Pastor Jess's word as we do this now. Family, we've got the next 10 years to look forward to. And really comes down to how much we want it. Yeah. To what's in here. What God has put in here. We're going to open up the space here in the front as the prophetic declaration to say, yeah, I'm all in, God. My heart's devotion is all yours, no matter the hunger level. Even if you have the tiniest little appetite and you say, God, let me be on fire for you. You might already be on fire and this space is also open for you. And say, yes, God, more, 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 I'm all in. So if that's you, come to the front. I'm going to praise and worship with you to believe that yes, God will do it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.